Does anybody belong to this? Not sure where it came from, but it's been up here for a week or so. So if you recognize it, there it is. Turn to Job chapter 12, please. Job chapter 12. Job 12. We'll speak about the old time hand pump this morning. Job chapter 12. Look at verse 7. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In those hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. It's kind of a jumping off point this morning, but the idea conveyed here is that we can learn some things from the creation and the things in this world around us. I grew up about 150 miles northeast of here. If you follow 220 up, it'll take you within about 15 miles of where I grew up. It's on east of there, about 15 miles when you get over into the border of New York State. And I was out in the country about 2 miles from town where I grew up. There were two dairy farms. They milked about 60 head of cattle, and that was back when they carried the milking machines out onto the barn floor and before the bulk tank and all those things. But there was another neighbor in our area that had just 2 cows and a few acres and just raised them and sold the milk for just some extra money. And a lot of the equipment on this particular farm, and you know, we think about the other dairy farms and the way things were there, that was ancient compared to the way things are done today. But the way this guy with 2 cows did things was even ancient back then. He had they milked by hand, and I mean by hand, not with a milking machine. And they had a couple of old tractors that had to be started by cranking them. Their mowing machine was one that you rode on and had to operate. The wheels turning it is what ran the sickle mower, and then you had to manually lift the bar when you turned and all that stuff. Their baler was like the Amish use. It had a Wisconsin engine that powered it. And things are kind of backwards, the way that they did things. But in the tractor shed, which is on one end of the barn, in the back of the tractor shed was a well with an old hand pump. You know, you just, by hand, you would pump the water out of the well. And, you know, that thing entertained. That farm had 3 boys on it, and they were a little bit younger than me, but I used to hang out there some. And we spent hours messing with that old hand pump, keeping the stock tank full for the cows, of course. That was what its purpose was, primarily. But we kept the tank full and overflowing and did all the many things that you could imagine boys would do when water is involved. We had a lot of fun with that thing, and there was something about just pumping it that was entertaining to us. You know, it kept us occupied for hours. But you know, if you think about that old pump, and there are some lessons I think we can learn from that old pump. Number one, you need to grab the handle. You know, you don't just turn the faucet on, or you don't flip a switch somewhere. You need to grab the handle if you're going to get some water out of there. There takes some effort to get some water out of that thing. And in life in general, most anything that is of value, that is worthwhile, requires some effort. It's not easy. Whether you talk about raising children like we're dealing with, or even a marriage, or pastoring a church, or being a part of a church, or whatever you do to make a living, nothing comes without some effort, does it? If it's worthwhile, it requires some effort. Most things in life require effort. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, if you don't teach a child to work, you'll raise a thief. I think there's some wisdom in that. You know, God established work. Go to Genesis chapter 19, Genesis 3, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 3. I don't know where 19 came from. I guess it's a prime number, I suppose, right? Genesis 3 and verse 9. Genesis 3, 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. No, that should be 19, shouldn't it? Yeah, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. Part of the curse upon man was in the sweat of his brow, he was going to eat bread. That's work, isn't it? Say, work's part of the curse. But you know what? God established work before the fall. He made it more difficult after the fall. But work was established before the fall. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. God creates here in chapter 2, and he says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Their very first vocation was a farmer. That's what God established. And I won't mention what it is. Some of you will probably recognize this, but some say the oldest profession is something else. No, it's not. This is the oldest profession, farming. God established work before the curse. God saw that it was good for us to be doing something, to be exerting some effort in some things. It was after the curse that it became more difficult, when in the sweat of our face and thorns and thistles and all the nasty things that you have to deal with. But God established it. And just like with that handle, you got to grab hold of it. It takes some effort to get what you want out of it. Most things in life are going to require some effort. Work is good. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Could be an inheritance. Could be a lottery winnings. Could be many things that could fall into that category. But he says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. There's something to be said favorably about work. Chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Yeah. Shut up and go to work. We can sit and talk about how it ought to be done and how you would do it differently and all that, but usually that person gets run over by somebody who's doing the job, whether it's the way they would do it or not. You know. In labor there is profit. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You know, there are some wise rich people who realize that they still need to be doing something. And many of them don't even live as wealthy as they are. There was an interview with some football player just recently I saw this week. And somebody said, what are you going to do with all your millions now, with the big signing bonus he got and everything? He says, I don't know what rich people do with their money. He's planning on playing football. He's planning on doing what he does normally. That's the wise approach to that thing. Because the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Because he sits and worries and frets about all kinds of things, and it robs his sleep from him. But one more verse about work being good. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now this is talking about Sodom. We know what Sodom is. That's where Lot chose to go. Lot chose to live there. when he and Abraham had that falling out and they couldn't get along and they needed to separate their ways. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, and not recognizing what was there, what he'd be exposing his people to when he got there. And we oftentimes we focus upon that one aspect of Sodom, sodomy, homosexuality, that was the problem there. And I'm not in any way discounting that or undermining that, but notice what it says here in Ezekiel chapter 49, or Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So he defines what the root of the problem is. The homosexuality was just an outgrowth. The root of the problem was this: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. The abundance of idleness is the one thing that I think stands out to me there, that led to the homosexuality that was there. We are a nation of leisure, folks. And there's many factors, yes, that are involved in this thing, but this, I believe, is one of the factors that's leading us to down the road of sin that this country is going, abundance of idleness. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Work is good, but there's something else he says about this thing here, and something that's completely lost, I believe, in our society today as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such are we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they eat, they work and eat their own bread. If any doesn't work, he ought not to eat. That pretty much destroys our welfare system today, doesn't it? You know, the problem in our society today is, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's one of the things. We've gotten away from the Word of God. I understand people need some help once in a while. Maybe some temporary assistance to get along. You know, with Sarah, how old is she, 28? Getting too old. Anyway, she's at home, right? She doesn't have a job. But, you know, she's not idle. The house looks neater than it has in a long time. And not to discredit my wife's housework, it's just all the other things that she does. And Sarah's got the time and she jumps in and does some things. I'm glad that we can take care of our daughter in this time, that she can take some time to discern clearly what God wants for her to do. So I'm not against helping somebody out when they need a little bit of assistance. The Hendricks family need our help right now. And I hope you'll prayerfully consider giving some to provide for these people's needs at this difficult time. But that's a temporary thing. And at some point, the person needs to show some initiative and begin to do something. Work is good. Work is value. Work is established by God. And if you're going to get some water out of the pump, you got to grab the handle and put forth some effort to get it, as with everything in life. Secondly, this: you need to prime the pump. You can grab that handle and you can pump that thing till your ears fall off, and if it's been sitting a while, you're not getting any water out of it. It doesn't matter how much you pump that thing. And there was always a glass oftentimes, or a bucket or something kept with some water in it just for that purpose. If not, usually if the stock tank wasn't empty, you could dip some out, but you dump some down the tube there and you get the pumping and get that thing primed and finally get the water going. You know, you need to give something up. sometimes to get something back. You need to prime the pump. Sacrifice. Some things in life require some sacrifice. And we live in this society that wants everything easy. We want everything just like that, you know. We got to turn on the switch and get the power. Or flip the handle or whatever the case may be. We can't wait for things. We can't work for things. We can't give something up to get something anymore. You know, you got to push the button and 30 seconds, I got my meal ready to eat. You know, not like Dean, you know, you can't wait for it for a while. Got to have it right away. And it's those things are nice, but we've got to the point in our lives so oftentimes that we aren't willing to wait or work for anything. Oh, I want to win the lottery so I don't ever have to do anything again that I don't want to do. There's a problem with that. We've seen some verses regarding that thing. Life requires some sacrifice. You got to prime the pump. You got to give something up. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Living out in Kansas, I worked on farms out there and got very well acquainted with farming practices and procedures, at least as they're done out there. And right about this time of year, if they can get some moisture, they're going to start sowing wheat. Drilling wheat, winter wheat, get it planted in the ground. And they're going to take roughly 3/4 of a bushel an acre and spread that across their fields, and in hopes of getting at least 20, if not 40, 50, even 70, 80 bushels per acre in return. But you got to give something up to get that. That's a pretty nice yield, isn't it? 3/4 of a bushel to get 40 to sometimes even 100 bushels in return. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It sits in the bin and it does nothing. It's got to be put into the ground. It's got to be sacrificed. It's got to be given up to get something in return. Just like with that old hand pump. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. When he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. God expects something out of you. And if we're going to accomplish anything for God in our lives, there's going to be some sacrifices made along the way to give something up, to get something in return, to produce the family of children that are an heritage to God that will live and serve Him. There's some things you got to sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes it's some peace and quiet. Because somebody needs a whooping and you're going to fill the house with some squalling and carrying on for a while. There's some things to sacrifice. Some things you just have to deny yourself for. And especially in serving God, there's some things that we need to deny ourselves for. I remember I told you several weeks ago, about an evangelist, Rex Harrison, who passed away. He had polio when he was a child. He was crippled, couldn't walk without the assistance of crutches. And I'd known him for a number of years, and we finally got him scheduled to come in to preach for us out in Gove, Kansas. And it was in November, just like here, we always had a fall meeting. And he was scheduled to come in on a Saturday. And I got word, I don't remember, just days before that, that my grandfather had passed away in Long Island. And I was really struggling with this. You know, I said, what, you know, I really wanted to be with my family and at my grandfather's funeral. But I had this evangelist coming in. He was going to be parking his trailer in our backyard. And I felt I needed to be there to help him get assisted, and especially since he's crippled and everything. I didn't go to my grandfather's funeral. There's a sacrifice. So, well, I wouldn't have made that choice. Well, you know, and I can't say, you know, if it was the right one or not. Of course, it did rain. It was a mess getting him parked there that night. I'm glad I was there to help him. But I had to give something up. And in our lives, sometimes to serve God, there's some things that we're going to have to deny ourselves for. But he says, verse 35, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. You know, my family didn't understand my choice. So my family was upset that I didn't come to my grandfather's funeral. And it wasn't an easy choice to make. But I felt that's the one I had to make at that time. But he says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You need to prime the pump. We need to give some things up in this life for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the things that are of value in our lives. Thirdly, this. You need to keep pumping. You know, you get that thing going, you pour the water down there, you get that thing pumping, and you start pumping, and you keep pumping, and you keep pumping, and it doesn't seem like it's doing any good. But then all of a sudden, there's a little bit of drag on that thing. And then the drag gets a little harder, and it gets a little harder to pump, and a little harder to pump. And then finally, the water starts flowing out of that thing. And then it gets a little easier, doesn't it? Not as easy when the water wasn't coming, but easier than before it started to flow. But you got to keep pumping if you're going to get the fruit of your labors. You can't quit. And if you stop in the middle of filling the tank, if you wait for any length of time, you're going to have to reprime that thing again because the water drains down out of the pipe down there. And you got to start all over again. You got to keep pumping. You got to keep at it. He says here in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And sometimes you think, man, I just don't think this is accomplishing anything. I just don't think I'm getting anywhere. I don't think anything is resulting from my labors. You just need to keep pumping. You just need to keep pushing. You just need to keep going. Christians, we can't quit. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You need to stay in the book. We need to stay on our knees. Folks like this need it. I need it. Y'all need it. You need to keep praying for one another. We need to keep ourselves pure. We need to just stay active for God. You know, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody here say this, but I have in the past heard people say, you know what, it's time for the younger ones to take over here. Time for me to just sit back and go out to pasture and relax. I think that's a mistake. Yeah, as we get older, there it may change what we can do. And maybe it can get to the point where the only thing that you can do is pray. Because and I forgot to mention this, but pray for Jenny. She can't get out of bed this morning. Alma's sister, she's just hurting. But even in that situation, even in that condition, she could still serve God. Because in her pain and her discomfort and her struggles and trials, she can pray. And so, well, that's all I can do. Man, sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Is to pray. Because there's nothing else that anybody else can do in some situations, is to pray. We need to keep active. And that said, yes, the older ones need to keep pulling their share. You know, over there in Ephesians chapter 4, when it talks about the church, and he says it's from that which every joint supplieth. Well, let's look at that. We're right there, Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 12, Ephesians 4:12. He says he gave the apostles in verse 11 and the prophets and teachers and so forth for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Drop down to verse 15. But speaking in truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, and even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Stay active. You older saints are, I hope, feel as much a part of the ministry here as everyone else. But some of the younger saints do need to step up. There are some needs. We need workers in the children's church to fill the void left by the Ottos. What, almost a year now, right? It was October when they left, something like that. And nobody stepped up to fill that need. Thank God for the helpers for the Good News Club. But there's some needs, folks. And I feel the need to expand our ministry some too. And there's some other needs. But as the Lord said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We need some laborers. God's people need to stay active, and we shall reap if we faint not. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This passage talks about the rapture here. Is, you know, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed as corruptible. We'll put on incorruption as mortal, must put on immortality. And so forth, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For a long time, that was my life verse. Then I read the next verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of that victory, there's something that follows, or should follow. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible tells us, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him. I believe the Apostle Paul got a glimpse of that, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I knew a man in Christ, whether in a body or out of the body, I cannot tell, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And he said he saw some things that were unlawful for him to utter. But you know what? That changed his life. To the point some said he was a suicidal maniac. I don't believe that. But that's what some have said about him. Because you know what? He didn't care about this life. He told the Philippians, he says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. But for me, to part and be with Christ is far better. The physical pain that he endured, the suffering that he had to live with on a daily basis. He says, man, I'm ready to go home. He was ruined for this world. He was willing and content to stay here and serve God as long as God wanted him. But anytime God called, he was ready to leave, to depart, and to be with Christ. Because he had seen those things that other eyes had not seen. He had heard those things that other ears had not heard. Of the things which God had prepared for those that love him. We've got a Father that has a Christmas celebration like you can't even begin to imagine prepared for. He told us in John 14 that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, I may receive you unto myself, that you may be with me also. Always. I messed that up somehow, but you know the verse. He's preparing something for us. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, keep pumping. Because there's a blessing coming. Man, we go out there and we pump that old thing and we get that tank full. And then you get down there and get a drink. That nice, cool, clear, clean water. Man, that was good. Tasted better than anything that came out of the faucet in the house. Because we worked for it. It was fresh. The things that God has prepared for us. Better than anything else this world has to offer us. But we shall reap if we faint not. Let's stand for prayer, please. Lord, help us, God, to be faithful to you to the end. To be willing to put forth the effort that you deserve of our lives. God, to be willing to make whatever sacrifices you might deem necessary for the purpose which you have for us. And to not give up until the end. To keep going till we can get from your hand all you have for us. To hear from your lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God, if there are some who are weary and fainting this morning, I pray these words can be an encouragement to them. Stir us, O God, to give our all for thee, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name.